Powering Michigan's Future with Dick Hagler.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll discuss the advancement of PACE financing in the region with Andy Levin of Lean and Green Michigan. And we'll talk advanced lighting as we learn more about the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference with Josh Brugman of Next Energy, Diana Nash with Green Team Coalition, and Brian Wheeler with Consumers Energy. So stay tuned for Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Once again, your host, Dick Hagner.
Welcome to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, and we kick off the show tonight with Andy Levin, the founder of Lean and Green Michigan, an advocate and administrator of Property Assessed Clean Energy programs in the region. Welcome back to the show, Andy. Thank you for being here tonight.
My pleasure to
Property,
be with you.
Property Assessed Clean Energy, or PACE, that's very snappy. What is PACE financing?
Well, PACE financing is long-term financing for any clean energy project that a business or a private nonprofit might want to do. Any energy efficiency, water efficiency, or renewable energy project. Basically, if you own a warehouse, a hotel, you own a factory, any kind of business, really, if you can save energy on your building or produce your own energy, we can help you finance it through PACE.
And how does PACE, how does it work? If I apply for PACE, what is my interest? What am I trying to do?
Well, the way it works is, first, your local government has to create a PACE program, and that's really what you mentioned. I'm an advocate. I'm out there advocating with all the counties and cities in Michigan that they should do this because it's such a great deal for business. And then once a local government joins, then the business can get an energy audit, find out what the best way for it to save energy or water is, and then apply for financing, and they're off to the races.
So that's PACE financing. That's the venue. What is Lean and Green Michigan, and what is the connection between Lean and Green and PACE?
Well, that's a great question. So PACE financing is a good idea, but like a lot of new good ideas, it takes a lot to breathe life into it and make it a going concern. So Lean and Green Michigan is a statewide PACE program that I created that all Michigan cities and counties can join for free. And then I administer the program so that the businesses and private nonprofits in all the municipalities that join can take advantage of it. So far, three counties and two cities have already joined: Ingham County, Saginaw County, and Macomb County right here in the Detroit area, and City of Southfield and Rochester Hills have joined, but many more are in process. Huron County hopes to finish this week, actually, joining. Sanilac County is in process. Wayne County hopes to finish joining before the end of the year. And there are many other cities and counties. So really, by the end of the year, we'll have one-third of Michiganders covered by PACE districts, and we can turn to the process of helping businesses take advantage of it.
And why is it that a PACE district is necessary if I, as a contractor, a building, or whatever entity might be interested in this type of financing? Why do I have to be in that kind of a community or county?
Yeah, that's the whole key to it. So what PACE financing is the county or city letting the property owner use a special assessment or a property tax.
So there are taxes involved. Tax money is involved here, and that's where the government entity must come in.
Yeah, they're not giving property owner any tax money, but they're allowing the property owner to use a voluntary special assessment to finance the improvement. And what that does is, who's ever lending the money, like a bank is lending the money, they run it through the special assessment. That gives the bank the security to loan the money for 10 to 20 years. So all of a sudden, you can get a loan for long enough to make the energy improvement cash flow positive for the business. So if you're the property owner, you're paying nothing down, and your payments every year are less than the money you save through the energy improvements. So it's actually cash flow positive for the property owner. And, of course, it's a great deal for contractors because so many contractors, whether they're electrical, HVAC, geothermal, solar, whatever they are, they may have a lot of great projects sitting on their shelf gathering dust that the property owner said, hey, I'd love to do this. This sounds great, but I don't have a way to finance it, Dick. So that's what PACE does. It allows the financing a lot of these projects that can save property owners a lot of energy, but they just didn't have a way to turn them into reality before.
Why is it better for a lender?
It's great for a lender because since they have the security of a property tax obligation, they are first in line. If a property owner were to go under, they're first in line to collect. Not only that, since it's a property tax obligation, it runs with the land. The property owner can sell their factory, say, to a new property owner, and they pick up the payments. After all, they're picking up the energy savings. So it creates more security for the lender because they are going to get paid back sort of no matter what, even if the property is sold. And it creates opportunities really for all three parties, the property owner, the energy contractor, and the lender.
So this is safer for the lender, and now that makes the money flow a lot easier. And
that's right.
And there's a nice specified path for that money and how it gets paid back.
Right. Although it must be said that this is a whole new product for lenders, and this is a national phenomenon, Dick. 31 states and the District of Columbia have created PACE programs. It only started in 2008. And you're talking from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Mexico to Canada, the reddest states, the bluest states. The last states to join this movement were Utah, Arkansas, Texas, and Rhode Island. So you can just think geographically, politically, they're as diverse as could possibly be.
Who do we have to thank for the idea to set up PACE? Who's the creator?
Well, you know, it was a guy working for the mayor of Berkeley, California, and they said, wait a minute, every city and county in this country has this mechanism of special assessments, but all they use it for is they're paving a road or they're putting in a sewer, and they slap an involuntary tariff, essentially, on everybody along that right-of-way to pay for it. What if we let business owners do this voluntarily just because it's in their own self-interest to finance a clean energy improvement? That's how it all got started.
So that is the germ of the idea, to take an old idea of financing old infrastructure, et cetera, and change it for this brave new world that we're in.
That's probably better said than I've heard before. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you. I'm impressed with myself. Thank you, Andy. We're going to ask Andy whether you qualify for a PACE project as you stay tuned to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haechner.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, and we've been talking with Andy Levin, the founder of Lean and Green Michigan, discussing property-assessed clean energy or PACE financing opportunities in Michigan. So you clarified to us, Andy, what PACE is and how Lean and Green Michigan enters the picture as a great facilitator and administrator of these PACE projects. How do I qualify for PACE, and how do I determine whether I should be interested in that?
Right. Well, it's definitely not for everybody. It really depends on your situation. So first of all, who qualifies? Any for-profit business property qualifies. Any building that you may have, whatever industry you're in. So you could have a warehouse, a hotel, an apartment complex. Also, if you're in a nonprofit kind of business, a private college or school, most of our hospitals in Michigan are private nonprofits. All of those qualify, and of course they need to get their local government to join. But if they have a project, it's worth getting them to join. So I'd be glad to help them with that. And then, how do you determine whether this makes sense? Basically, you want to get an energy audit of your facility. Many property owners have already done this, but again, we can help property owners find a really good, well-qualified energy auditor. But you take a look at your utility bills for the last 2 or 3 years. You look at all of your systems, your heating and cooling systems, your lighting systems, your building envelope, and you find out how much energy could you save. The norm, the average, Dick, is 30%. 30% of the energy used to heat and cool and light buildings, commercial industrial buildings in America, is unnecessary. It's wasted. Yes.
And that's a huge expense.
Yes, especially if your building's anything older than 5 or 10 years. But even some newer buildings, it's really shocking. So, But sometimes people can save even more, 40-50%. So it's really a question of how much energy can you save, and is it worth it doing a project? One thing that listeners have to, and all of us have to sort of wrap our minds around, is actually pace makes it worthwhile for you to look at your comprehensive energy situation. Until this came along, the norm has been, well, I'm the business owner. I'm going to have to pay for this. Let me just bite off the smallest piece I can. Typically, you're going to be talking about lighting here in a few minutes. Typically, people would do lighting first because it's the quickest payback. Well, pace allows people to say, well, wait a minute. Let me look at all of my energy needs, all that I'm wasting, and let me fix all that stuff now because it's going to be a cash flow positive deal for me. I'm just going to get a payback every month that I'm doing this. So people can really look at their entire systems and see. So they can be just interested in saving money, or they can, if they're interested in sort of green reputational value and communications value for their business, it really doesn't matter what their motivation is. If they can save energy or water, or want to produce their own energy through solar, wind, geothermal, biofuels, all of that, they qualify and they can apply for PACE financing through Lean and Green Michigan.
Now, this can certainly sound complicated, and so if I need some advice on whether my building, my project, is a good candidate for PACE financing, I can get a hold of you at Lean and Green Michigan?
Yeah, anybody can go on the Lean and Green Michigan website, or you know, and reach out to us or call us, and we're glad to help people anywhere. The whole idea of Lean and Green is not just to, you know, close these particular deals, but to be a matchmaker, to be a facilitator. So whether somebody listening is an energy contractor and they say, well, gosh, this sounds good, but I need help getting into this act, or if they're a lender saying, well, I'd like to participate in this market, or especially if they're a property owner and they say, well, I suspect my energy, my building's not that efficient, but how do I even know for sure? We're glad to connect people up with whoever they need to figure it out. And the great thing for property owners is, usually the very first steps don't cost them any money. An energy contractor of the appropriate kind or an auditor will come out and talk to them, take a quick look at their facility, and give them a ballpark of what they're talking about saving in terms of energy before they even have to, you know, do anything in terms of paying for an audit or something like that.
Andy Levin, tell us what has been going on with PACE in Michigan. How has it caught on? You mentioned before how the idea and the district certification or authorization has caught on in many communities, and I know you've got more that are online.
Yeah, well, it's really kind of amazing. I mean, the first to even join was City of Southfield, and that was in 2012. And here we're still not done with 2013, and there's three counties and two cities already in, another 10 counties and cities in the process of joining. So the three counties that are already in are Saginaw, Macomb, and Ingham. The cities already in are Rochester Hills and Southfield. So if anybody's in any of those areas, they can already do their project right now. But Wayne County is in the process of joining. Huron County, Sanilac County, Washtenaw County, other counties and cities around the state. So it really is catching on, because from the county's point of view or the city, there's no taxpayer money involved, and they don't have to pay any fees. We finance the PACE districts through administrative fees, basically like closing costs on the deal of each deal. And the idea is this, Dick. Why should the taxpayers pay for everything? If this is helping a property owner save money, helping a contractor get new work, helping a bank or other lender make their interest, let those market participants pay for it through little fees on the deal instead of the taxpayers. And that's, I think, why it's really taking off in these tough times. It's just a very practical market-oriented approach to clean energy.
Well, when you get Wayne County online, that's going to be huge.
I'll tell you, we already have several projects that are sort of waiting for the county to finish joining. There's a $3 million project that at one of our community hospitals where they're quite interested in Wayne County. There's a big apartment building down on the river where the contractor wants to do PACE financing. So there's a number of projects already in the works.
I would imagine this is also good for area employment, because it gives our experts, the folks who know how to do all this stuff, activity and an entree into this brand new world.
It's great for employment on at least two different levels. For one thing, if you stop and think about it, we have manufacturers in this state like Dow and others that make a lot of the equipment used for energy efficiency and renewable energy. But in particular, obviously, it's great for employment for the workers who are going to do these retrofits, do these installations. And you can't send these jobs anywhere to any other state or any other country. You can't retrofit a building in Lansing or Detroit except by working right there. And we hope to create a lot of jobs through this. Real practical hands-on jobs for Michiganders who work in the electrical field, in plumbing, in people who are laborers, people who are operating engineers, really all kinds of work for people who help upgrade buildings.
Step us through a typical job. For example, take a project. You don't need to use the names but or location, but take a project that you have seen come down the pike and take us through the various steps that are involved.
Well, a property owner does the energy audit or assessment to see what they can save, and then when the contractor and the property owner and the lender all agree they want to do it, the property owner signs a special assessment agreement with the city or county. And once that happens, then the lender pays for the contractor to do the work, and the project happens. I'll give you one example of like the very first deal likely to close. It's not quite closed yet, so I can't say what it is, in the city of Southfield.
You could.
Which
I'll
was,
let you on the show.
I'll come back on the show and tell you about it. How about that once
All
it's
right.
closed?
All right. Okay.
But it's a overall, it's about a $1 million deal involving control systems upgrades, lighting upgrades, solar on the roof, solar carports, micro wind, small wind turbines on the roof, and also electrical vehicle charging stations on those carports. It's a dynamite project. The property owner is going to eliminate most of their electrical bill through the solar and make their building more efficient through the controls and lighting and so forth. So it's very exciting.
So it's not just a small chunk of lighting expense that you can take out of your building by retrofitting a lot of this stuff. You can take a lot. I mean, you had mentioned 30%.
Oh, yeah. You can. I mean, people can often save 30, 40, 50% or even more of the energy they're using. Also, if they want to produce their own energy like this property owner, they can eliminate their electrical bill through solar power or wind power. Stress enough the breadth of the application for this, Dick. You could have manufacturing plants that have that produce volatile organic compounds as a byproduct of what they're making, turn their volatile organic compounds from a problem into energy that they plow back into the plant. You can have kind of businesses that have a lot of water or wastewater issues that can reduce their wastewater fees tremendously, reuse that water, or just reduce the amount of stormwater or wastewater they produce. There's just the breadth of applications is everything from simply tightening up a building envelope to changing the lighting out to control systems, solar hot water, solar thermal, solar photovoltaics, really any kind of energy efficiency or renewable energy project. And so each project's going to be quite different because buildings are different and what makes them more efficient is different. The key thing for every deal is what saves money for that property owner and what cuts waste for that property owner. It's tailored to the needs of the property owner. Remember, by Michigan's PACE statute that was passed in December of 2010, I cannot approve a project unless it is cash flow positive for that property owner. It's right in the statute. So it's very exciting because I think it's going to open up a whole new way for property owners to save money. And then, again, if they're the kind of business that can benefit from being the greenest apartment complex or car dealer or, hotel around, it gives them all those reputational and communications benefits as well.
How quickly can you or the agent, the consultant, whoever would be doing the audit, for example, come back with some figures on what the return on investment might be?
It's weeks rather than months. It really doesn't take that long.
And do you do that?
No. They would have to get some of the contractors that do the work have the capacity certainly to do that, and then also there are outside auditing firms that just do the energy assessments. And we have I can't stress to you, we have fantastic companies right here in Michigan. You mentioned jobs. They have the people. They want the work. They're ready to help property owners with any kind of energy efficiency or renewable energy assessment or improvement.
Well, tell us, Andy, how people can get in touch with Lean and Green Michigan.
Well, you know, it's everything's through the Internet these days, Dick. So the best way is simply to go to the Lean and Green Michigan website. For one thing, you can just Google Lean and Green Michigan and you'll get right to it. But the actual web address is www.leanandgreenmi, that's LeanandGreenMI.com. LeanandGreenMI for Michigan.com. And they, right there, they can find an up-to-date press feed with all the articles about this and some articles about PACE nationally. They can find pages specifically tailored for contractors, for property owners, for lenders. They can find a presentation that runs them through how the whole thing works. And actually, I could say right now, as of this broadcast, they could find a live online application where they can just apply. We just put that up, Dick. So that's, they can apply right there online. And they don't have to know everything to apply. They can apply even if they know they want to do this, but they don't haven't done the audit yet, and we'll hook them up with whatever they need.
It's always interesting to talk with Andy Levin of Lean and Green Michigan. And Pace, thank you for being with us on the show tonight, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
More coming up on Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Once again, your host, Dick Haefner.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. And we're speaking with Josh Brugman, Director of Energy Efficiency at Next Energy, Diana Nash, the President of the Green Team Coalition, and Brian Wheeler of Consumers Energy. Thank you all for being with us here on Powering Michigan's Future. And Josh, let's start out with you at Next Energy. Tell us about the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference. What is the event?
Sure. Thanks for having us. The event is focused on highlighting advanced lighting technologies in the state of Michigan, and the vision for the event is really twofold. One is to highlight the technology development that's going on here in the state, and the other is to help connect the dots in the industry. So there's a real unique economic opportunity proposition that exists right now, that at one end of the spectrum we have companies doing research and design of new products in the state. On the other end of the spectrum we have companies that are making light bulbs and fixtures in the state. And then in the middle you have contractors, which play an important role. There's people bringing financial products to the table. There's architects and engineers. And collectively all these entities come together, and this event is really focused on helping connect the dots and driving more activity, more economic development activity around lighting. We have a real opportunity to kind of relight in Michigan, if you will.
So it really is connecting the dots and connecting all of these entities, which are complicated little units all in and of themselves. Not so little, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So with the R&D people having an opportunity to meet the manufacturing people and the contractors being there and the financing, this is a one-stop shop.
Yeah, it really is. There's going to be content for all those different entities involved. And the other critical element are people that own buildings, maybe municipal city managers, anyone who has an asset, if you will, in the built environment where they might have some end-use application of lighting. But there are a lot of light bulbs out there, and there's a lot of opportunity to save money in the state of Michigan and drive that economic activity. And we're uniquely positioned where we have companies right here in the state that are doing that research and design and making the product. So it's a really great, perfect storm, if you will.
Well, tell us the when and the where and the what time.
Yeah, sure. It's on Tuesday, December 3rd. It's going to be an all-day event located at the Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren, Michigan. More information can be found at nextenergy.org/MALC for the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference. And we're going to have a great lineup of speakers. There's people coming in from all over the country, from the Department of Energy and others. We're going to have a lot of great Michigan companies represented there, exhibitors, and probably most importantly is a wide range of content for all the different entities, the architects, engineers, building owners, manufacturers that are going to come to this event. So it should suit everyone's needs.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful and natural place for NextEnergy to be.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because when we got involved in this event, the first question we asked ourselves was, does this fall in line with our mission? And our mission as a nonprofit is to help accelerate investment and job creation in Michigan as it relates to advanced energy technologies. And this is just a real direct fit. And so we're very excited to be part of this along with our other partners to help drive that economic activity.
And the activity concerns not just those things you mentioned, but if somebody's curious about some of this brand new research and development and curious about who's making this stuff and you don't know who it is, this is the way to find out.
Yeah, the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference is the place to show up to find out what's new on the market, the advancements that are taking place in the technology, and really where the market's going. There are a variety of studies that are demonstrating that the LED lighting market, if you will, is going to grow leaps and bounds in the next 6.5 years. A lot of studies say anywhere from 50 to 70% market penetration globally in just the next 6.5 years. So we're sitting in this unique moment in time where we have the opportunity here in Michigan to help create a platform to help launch our Michigan companies forward and also experience the economic activity that's associated with significant cost savings. So the more money we can keep here in the state and not send outside the state boundaries for energy, it's going to create a multiplier effect here locally.
The flow of money, of course, helps make all of this happen. And if I'm on the financing end of it, if I'm a lender, for example, and I want to get more of the piece of the pie, should I be at this conference?
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity. There are going to be a variety of building owners that are going to be at the conference. So there's, those are some of the connections that we want to make in the industry, having building owners talk with the financiers. I think it's really important for the contractors that are going to be there to know what options they have to help bring that financing component to the table to help make their projects a reality, and likewise for the manufacturers. So again, it's all those different components of the industry coming together. There's a real opportunity to grow the industry, if you will.
Diana Nash of the Green Team, why don't you step us through some of the agenda of the nuts and bolts of what will be at this conference?
Sure, Dick. We're really excited about the high impact agenda and caliber of the presenters that we've been able to assemble. So some of the highlights are the opening remarks are going to be done by Gene Redfield, who is CEO of NextEnergy, as well as Jennifer Mefford, who heads up the business development for the IBW Local 58 and the National Electrical Contractors Association. So we're very excited that they're going to be opening up the conference, and there will be a significant focus on actual case studies and results, actual results versus projected results. So we've all heard a lot about what can happen and what could happen, and this is going to be a really deep dive into actual projects that have happened and occurred in case studies. And we'll be profiling a lot of recognized projects such as the MGM parking lot and the Detroit Zoo. So some really pretty high-profile projects that everybody would recognize. So
real-world projects that are there now.
Exactly, and the results are there, and they're seeing the ROIs that were projected, and the lighting is great, and everybody's happy. So,
what else might be on the agenda here?
Sure. We're really thrilled that the UL will be here. They're coming in from Chicago and Atlanta, so we really have gained national support for this Michigan conference.
And will they hand out labels?
They won't be handing out labels, but they will be telling you how you can get labels on your products. And they will be letting project stakeholders know about what the correct way to handle projects are from a UL perspective and how you can avoid putting in a project that might avoid the UL listing. So there's going to be a lot of important information coming from the UL. And they also will have their environmental group attending, so they'll be talking about end of life on the materials and the environmental impact for projects, so which is equally important.
Well, these are questions that anybody in this field needs answers to before they go on to any project or even think about whether we should launch a project at all. And the great thing about this conference is all these answers and potential answers and the people with the answers are right there in one place at one time.
Absolutely. And UC Davis is going to be attending as well, and they're going to be speaking on...
University of California.
Yes, Davis campus, which has really led the energy efficiency education market. And so they have done a tremendous job, and they worked with the IBW NECA in California to develop, along with some other partners, to develop the National Advanced Lighting Controls Training Program, which we are now... of teaching at the Electrical Industry Training Center, which is where the event will be held. So we'll be able to show folks what that lab looks like and what that training consists of. So that'll be significant as well.
We'll find out more about the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference as we talk with Diana and Josh and Brian Wheeler on Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haefner.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future. Josh Brueggemann is here from Next Energy and Diana Nash of the Green Team Coalition, and we'll be talking with Brian Wheeler of Consumers Energy. And we were talking, Diana, about the Advanced Lighting Conference coming up December 3rd, and the feds are going to be there too.
They are. We've got Dr. Jack Corrin from the Department of Energy from the Solid State Lighting Group, and so we're very excited to have them attend. And we also have national representation from Cree. Cree has really led the industry as far as development of technology and as far as consistent quality. So we're excited to have Eric Haugard here from Cree as well.
Brian Wheeler from Consumers Energy. Brian, the Consumers Energy Company, of course, lights up a lot of the state of Michigan, so you're very interested in energy-efficient lighting. Tell us what Consumers offers, for example, as a way of incentives or rebates for energy-efficient lighting. We're asking you about that because that'll be a big question that'll be asked at the Advanced Lighting Conference.
Sure enough, yeah. Thanks for having me. Energy efficiency is a big part of the work of what we do at Consumers Energy, and it's a big part of the work at all utility companies in Michigan right now. If people go to our website, go to consumersenergy.com/save, S-A-V-E, there's a lot of information there about energy efficiency rebates that are available, starting with lighting, but then, of course, with other energy efficiency products and concerns across the board. We offer programs where people can get their homes looked at by folks who, know what the best manner is to make your house as energy efficient as possible, and then a host of rebates for products. When it comes to lighting, a lot of the benefits that are available are right there at the retail point, where people go to a store, a Home Depot, Meijer, what have you, and as they're buying a compact fluorescent light or LEDs, they're eligible for rebates that are they're folded into the price right off the bat. There's a real change going on in terms of how people approach energy efficiency, a real growth in this across the state. And I think that the degree which we make it easy for people where they can go to a store and get the rebate right there on the spot, it just encourages it to continue.
And, of course, Consumers helps your customers both on the small household end and the larger contractors, the business, as far as finding out what those benefits are. I know if you go to your website, for example, you get a lot of that information.
If folks go to consumersenergy.com/save, you're going to hear me repeat that a couple of times. There are points of entry if you're looking for your house or if you're a business owner. And obviously those concerns can be different sometimes. There are also our programs. We have one, for example, called Helping Neighbors that's available in certain geographic areas of the state where people who qualify by virtue of their income, again, get these home energy audits. Products are installed right away from lighting to the low flow shower head to other things. And so, I live in a house that was built in the 1920s. And when it was built, there wasn't as much consideration or prediction of how the future would be in terms of these things. There's a lot of people can do on their own. And then as they make, purchases for major appliances and whatnot, they can qualify for rebates that help them get the best on the market, the best in terms of limiting their energy use. Statewide, we have a lot of activity that goes on around energy efficiency, and we project that this year Our customers will see more than $200 million in savings on their utility bills from having taken advantage of various energy efficiency upgrades. So, you know, there's a lot of talk at this conference and elsewhere about, you know, helping out the economy and what role energy efficiency has in that. And you can see, you know, when you can put dollars back in people's pockets, that's money they can spend on other things, from, you know, Christmas shopping coming up now to other improvements to their houses.
Brian, why is this conference important to consumers' energy?
Well, I think we heard from our other guests here that, you know, there are a lot of people who represent a lot of walks of life and industry who are going to be at this conference, and it's important for us to be there, if only just to keep a good line of communication and to make people aware. I don't think you could probably talk enough to people from an individual family or a homeowner up to your largest business customer about what's available and what they can do to save on energy usage and bring their costs down. At the same time, you know, we're going to hear a lot of interesting information presented at this conference, so we learn as well.
Josh Brugman, tell us about the sponsors at this conference.
Sure, yeah. The conference definitely would not have been possible, and we appreciate all the participation by the major sponsors. That includes Consumers Energy, DT Energy, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58, and the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeast Michigan, and last but not least, Efficiency United, which is a consortium of some smaller utilities around the state of Michigan. And then it wouldn't be possible without support from a variety of partners, including the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the Michigan Public Service Commission, and this year the event's being held in conjunction with the Michigan Solid State Lighting Association, which is a lot of companies that are involved in the LED lighting space. And lastly, the Green Team Coalition. Diana Nash is with the Green Team Coalition, and she's been helping us plan the event this year.
Is there still time to register?
Yes, there is. There's still time to register, and you can go to nextenergy.org/MALC for the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference. You can sign up to attend the event, and there are also continuing education credits available through a variety of professional organizations, and people can also sign up to be an exhibitor if they happen to represent a company.
Diana Nash, tell us why this is a must event for all the places, big and small, that we've talked about on this show tonight.
Well, you're going to be able to meet a lot of people, a lot of networking opportunities, as well as a learning environment. So it's a very educational environment. The conference really addresses advanced technology by focusing on lessons learned in the laboratory at the manufacturing and testing levels, and it also addresses best practices in the field at the contractor level. So the focus is on LED technology, sensors and controls, technology and training, how advanced lighting and controls interact and improve return on investment and performance, and also project quality testing and standards. So it's covering a lot of bases here.
And the standards and the performance, that sounds like a fairly mundane thing to the great unwashed like me, but actually in your business, it's super important, isn't it?
It is. And I also want to mention that we do have some exhibitor space left. It is filling up very quickly. So if people are interested in exhibiting at the conference, if they have lighting products to showcase or technology to showcase, we can certainly, you know, help them do that. And so, again, it's nextenergy.org/MALC to register as an exhibitor as well.
And we're talking about the Michigan Advanced Lighting Conference once again. That's coming up on December 3rd. We've been talking with Diana Nash of the Green Team Coalition, Josh Brugman over at Next Energy, and Brian Wheeler at Consumers Energy. And earlier in the show, we were talking with Andy Levin. And we want to thank all of our guests for being with us on this show. Most importantly, we want to thank you for listening to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Dick Hafner reporting.